Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. I'm happy to be here. I hope you are as well. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Call or text, whatever's easier. Got a little rasp in my throat today. We'll see how far we can push this. I feel like I'm redlining right now to make this work, so if you have any questions, today's the day. Help me out here. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Again, or text. The text lines are open. I'm staring right at the screen. Technology. It's fantastic, isn't it? I'm curious if anybody would rather text than call. It's always like a big polarizing subject when it comes to personal information and getting emails and getting a text message from someone you don't know. It's one of the things I think about. Like recently we rolled out the Key Lime Club rewards program where you earn 2% back on all the repairs coming in the shop. And so you get automated texts, you know, from the shop for the program to kind of remind you of your balance and stuff like that. Day of the appointment, hey, don't forget to, you know, mention that you got so much saved up. And just kind of interesting. I feel like sometimes the overwhelm comes in when it comes to all the different text messages and all the spam calls. I was reading an article that since the war with Iran, that spam calls is like dropped like 30 or 40%. So that was pretty interesting to read about. But it is true, you know, and it's nice with the iPhone now with all the spam blockers, and it definitely helps to minimize the amount of overwhelm you get sometimes with the phones. But anyway, another random thought of the day. All right, let's talk about some weather. What do we have today? It's going to be a nice day today and tomorrow, this whole weekend. Even in the next week. Tuesday, we got a little AM fog coming in, but the temperatures, 73 today, 79 tomorrow, 73 on Monday, kind of trending upwards. So we hit 80 degrees up all the way to 83 by next Friday. So March is bringing some heat. It's even talking about hitting the 90s by St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to have some warm weather on tap. With that rain, got a lot of green in the area. It is nice out there. And I wanted to bring up maybe getting out, getting the hot rod out, maybe go taking a cruise. The California Super Bloom, that is the time to go see it. I was talking to the guys on Friday before I left, and they're like, yeah, any plans for the weekend? I was like, I was thinking about getting the 68 out and maybe putting the car seat in it and heading out to Carrizo, see the Super Bloom. And it was like I was speaking a different language. I didn't understand what I was talking about. The Carrizo Plains out Soda Lake, right, with all the flowers. You know what I'm talking about. I know you do. Soda Lake Road, get out there, see the big Salt Lake bed. But the flowers right now is, they say from now till, I think they say like the end of March is kind of like the prime time. But there is a map if you go on, if you want to look that up. It's by Hip Camp, H-I-P-C-A-M-P, hipcamp.com, California Superbloom. The Death Valley has famous photographers driving down to California right now because it's in peak effect. I know Death Valley is kind of far. That's kind of a far drive. But if you're into that, and then there's a poppy superbloom just south of that in Mojave. Again, kind of far for a day drive, but the point of the hip camp is if you're looking to get out, maybe get the first camping trip in for the season. They got some pretty cool sites all over California. We had some pretty good storms roll through here the last couple weeks. And now with this warm weather, it's really starting to bloom some stuff. So I'd recommend it, you know. It's March. It's time to go get a camping trip in. It's going to be warm. Load up the car and take off on a camping trip. Why not? But yeah, Hip Camp, California Super Bloom 2026. Look it up. It's a wildflower map, and it'll kind of show you where the good spots are. Or you can make a day trip out of it and just head out to Carrizo Plains. Go see the Buffalo Ranch and stuff like that. Not a bad way to spend a weekend. Maybe a nice Sunday cruise. Speaking of events going on, if you have any events, definitely let me know. I know we're getting into the flow of our car show season again in the Central Coast, which is always exciting. I'm looking forward to all the car shows coming out, all the new car builds. Maybe you're building something and your debut is this year. The debut year is always fun, right? You work on it for 5, 6, 7, 10, maybe 20 years, and then you finally get it on the road. It's a big deal for you, and I always appreciate seeing something new out there. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hi. Hey, Jimmy. I was listening to you regarding all the flower blooms. I would imagine, again, like you're saying, with so much rain, Shell Creek's probably going to have a lot of wildflowers out there also off of 58.
Yeah, another good spot to stop by.
Yeah. So I haven't been out there yet, but a friend of mine will probably be heading out that direction here shortly to see what wildflowers are going on. Lots and lots of the mustard greens, the yellow ones, and then the blue lupins, and oh my gosh, you know, list goes on.
Yeah, it'll be nice out there for sure. We'll enjoy it out there.
Oh, you too. And I wanted to ask a quick question. And that tool set that I had advertised on the country store, if I bring that by the shop, there might be one of your mechanics that might be interested in purchasing that. So I'll check with you next week.
Yeah, they're pretty loaded up, but it's always worth, you know, bringing by a flyer or something. We can ask them.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, sounds good.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye. Okay.
Yeah, not a bad day to get out there and cruise around. Again, if you have any events going on, definitely a phone call or a text message, whatever, if you want to promote something. There is one coming up from Corvette Pacifica, which is a local spot. Mike, he's the owner of that place. It's in Atascadero. He sells Corvette parts. He manufactures a lot of OE, like the top level stuff. So if you have a Corvette and you need the real deal, he's got the real deal parts for you. Corvette Pacifica in Atascadero. He is putting on a show the end of this month, March 21st. It's going to be live music by the Troublemakers. It's always a good time. Food for purchase. He's going to have a food truck there. There is a cash donation that's recommended for car entries. All makes and models are welcome, so it's not just for Corvettes. It's a smaller parking lot, but he usually packs a pretty good show in there. And with the music and everything else going on, it's always a good time. So mark your calendars. From what I understand, it's the first one that I've heard of kicking off the 2026 season. If you know any other car shows, again, let me know. But any questions about that, you want to direct them to Mike at Corvette Pacifica. So just look him up online, or if you want to write down orders@ecproducts.com, or just swing by his place. He's got you can find it. Just look Corvette Parts in Atascadero. He's the only outfit, and you'll be able to find it. But Mike's a really nice guy. Going to have a great show out there. Again, that's March 21st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Put it on the calendars. Always a lot of cool Corvettes there, too, and some exotics. It's right next to German Performance, so there's usually some pretty good exotics there, too. It'll be a good car show. All right, what else we got on here? We'll get into some news. Some news, news, news. Recalls are always fun to talk about. I don't know why. I want to know what happened back in, like, the 70s. Primarily because I wasn't around then, but when vehicles were manufactured and they had a common failure, what was the fix, right? Because I hate to assume that in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, before the advent of like technology, like such as the internet, how that word was spread. If there was like letters that you got in the mail, or did they just ignore it, right? Oh, yeah, I know there's problems and. You take it back to the dealership. It's like the 10th one that week. And the guy just be like, oh, yeah, it's the first time we've seen this one. Haven't seen that one before, just to avoid having to do like a massive recall or something. I feel like there's just a lot. There's a lot of recalls, a lot of technical service bulletins. And I personally think it's because they're overcomplicating vehicles. And these new technologies that they're coming out with is just making things not on average worse. But automotive technology has been always changing every 5 years. There wasn't a time when something was just the same. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's the auto industry in a nutshell right there. You have to keep reinventing the wheel. You have to stay relevant. You know, through like the 70s with carburetors into the 80s when smog program came in, and then through the 90s, well, we need to start getting rid of carburetors altogether and going to throttle body injection, and then let's do multi-port injection and sequential fuel injection, and then we get to direct. It's just every 5 to 10 years, there's these huge changes, and there's no way that it was just dialed and they got it right. I think the only time they got it right was when they moved from like the 50s to the 60s and the hot rods came out. It's like, that was right. That was the right move. We went from like the fuel economy late 50s into the 60s, and then you get into the late 60s. It's like, you know what? Let's take the least fuel economical engine and put it in the smallest car that we have, and then put a 4-speed behind it. It's like, perfect. Had zero problems with that one. That was a good move. But since then, it's been not a decline, but as the technologies got better, the more problems come up. I don't know. But then again, we're building a lot more cars than we ever have, too. So 2% of 1,000 is a lot more cars than 2% of, say, 100, right? So, I don't know. Anyway, I got to take a break. We'll get back. We'll get into this this recall from GM.
Burlogger Excavation has been serving the Central Coast for over 28 years, and they specialize in bulldozer work for ranch and rural landowners. Call Burlogger if you need roads graded, fire breaks, or have erosion issues. Whether you need springtime disking, clearing, or general bulldozer work, they have the machines to tackle the job. Call or text 805-674-5141 or find them on the Creston Sawmill Burlogger Excavation Facebook page.
Welcome back to the Eagle Energy Country Store. Stop in and say hi. We're always glad to see you.
Have you ever made the Eagle Energy Country Store your first stop after leaving home or work?
For those of you who have, we at the Country Store appreciate and thank you for your business.
If not, come by the Eagle Energy 76 on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road.
And let us make you feel welcome.
Maybe you don't need fuel for your vehicle,
but you need something to fuel you.
We've got happy hours. That's right, happy hours. From 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, purchase anything in the store, and the coffee creation in the size you crave is free.
You heard us, free, no catches. Come back in the afternoons too, from 4 to 6 p.m. when you buy anything in the store, the fountain drink of your choice is free with your purchase. This includes our 100% freshly brewed iced teas, and now we have 3 new flavors to choose from.
Looking for something different than fast food or a long sit-down lunch? The Country Store Deli's Chili Verde Enchiladas are back.
See you at the Country Store.
We'll see you at the Country Store.
The Australian Warbirds Museum has updated its 40-plus vintage military aircraft to honor those who served in the Vietnam conflict. The Australian Warbirds Museum, home of the Woodland Auto Display, has a multi-million dollar collection and over 20,000 square feet of indoor buildings for the vintage auto and race car enthusiasts. Open Thursday through Sundays, 10 to 4, Dry Creek Road in Paso Robles, and they're always looking for new volunteers. Go to ewarbirds.org.
And welcome back. You're tuned into Gearhead Radio on KPRL AM 1230. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We're located right here in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road, Paso Robles. Look us up online at shiftinggears805.com. You can book an appointment there. If you Google us, there's also an online tab that you can book. Smogs, alignments, tires. We have a classic car division, so if you're ready to get your older car on the road, we can help you out with that. All makes, all models. We're here to help serve. So if you got something going on, just give us a call. Again, our process, we're happy to look at anything. So if you got something going on, just give us a call, bring it on down. We'll take a look at you, no cost to you, and we'll be able to get you a written estimate of what we deem necessary. Everything comes with the digital vehicle inspection, which is a full video of what we find, pictures attached. We offer 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty, and every vehicle gets a hand wash. We also have a ride share, so if you're busy and you don't want to ask for help to get your car dropped off and get a ride, we can take care of it for you. Or if it stuck at your house and you don't know how to get it somewhere, we got free local towing from our friends over at Alliance Towing. So we've partnered with them, and they've been very helpful. It's good to keep it local, and that's what we try to do. All right, what do we got? Let's get into some recalls, and then I'll get into the text lines. Again, if you have any questions or comments or you want to chat, phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. My voice seems to be holding up, so that's good news for me, I guess, and you too. I don't know who that's good news for, but we're trucking along here. So GM's recalling 44,000 full-size SUVs because the rear wheels could lock up. Again, I don't think this was like issues we had. Okay, the Pinto, right? The Pinto was a big one. So that's one I can think off the top of my head from back in the late 70s. That was a big deal. If you get a rear end collision, the thing could catch on fire. That was a big problem. I don't know if there's like, I feel like it was only those that made the news. Other than that, it was like, ah, you're fine. Did you die? No, you're fine. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, in this one here, General Motors is recalling a subset of full-size SUVs from the 2022 model year. Now, according to the documents filed with NHTSA, a transmission control valve in unaffected models may be susceptible to excessive wear. The recall population includes the Chevy Tahoe and Suburban, as well as short and long wheelbase versions of the GMC Yukon and Cadillac Escalade. It doesn't really matter because they all came with the same 10R80E transmission. The NHTSA documents show that excessive wear in the 10-speed automatic transmission control valve can cause a fluid leak that leads to a loss of pressure and may cause some valves to move unexpectedly. The combination of unexpected valve movement and loss pressure can cause the transmission to shift much more harshly than usual. In some cases, the control valve issue can lead to rear wheels locking up, which is the NHTSA paperwork says can be momentary or permanent. According to the recall, lockups occur when the transmission is attempting to downshift from eighth gear. Now, the dealers are installing a new TCM software that will monitor valve performance and detect any excessive wear approximately 10,000 miles before wheel lockup could occur. If the software detects wear, the transmission will be limited to fifth gear to prevent a lockup. A service engine light and reduced propulsion message will also appear in the instrument panel. Now, according to the recall documents here, all of the GM 2023 model year and newer full-size SUVs are equipped with the new transmission software that detects the excessive wear. Owner notification letters will be sent out March 30th. So these are the 2022s that, when they first came, were installed with the 10R80. Now, with the 10R80, that is the same transmission that is in the Fords. The Ford 10-speed and the GM 10-speed, it's the same transmission. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, to interrupt, you were doing a little bit of thing.
Oh, you're breaking.
I have 72 potatoes.
You're breaking up. I don't have a good connection with you. Oh, that was not working. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. A little choppy there. I'm pretty good at picking up bits and pieces, but I didn't get much of that one there. I'm going to say it was like a 70s. I think I caught 70-something. Did anybody else catch that? It was like a 1970-something. We'll see how close we are if he calls back. Or text me. Text on the same phone line, and then I can do that one. I'll get to the text message here in just a minute. So with the 10R80, same transmission as this GM and the Ford. Ford probably already has that software program. Now, what I don't like about this is the software program is only detecting the wear. They're not solving the root cause. And I'm not a fan of that. It's like a Band-Aid. We got to get in there and put some sutures in there. We got to stitch the problem, not just keep addressing the wound, right? And I feel like that's what they're doing here to avoid a costly redesign, because when they say a fluid leak, this is not something you're going to see externally. And they also mentioned that there was some hard shifting going on. Now, with the internals of a valve body, this is going to be a difficult one to to explain, but let's do it this way, like a garden hose. If you say you have a garden hose and it's kind of coiled up with a thing on the end, with the handle, little trigger. Anyway, so you pressurize the hose. The end of the hose has a nozzle on it, right? Is that what they called the nozzle at the end? And so now it's pressurized, not leaking. Now imagine you shoot that hose with a shotgun, tiny little like bird shot, and now you have all these little pinholes everywhere. That's kind of what the inside of a transmission looks like. Okay, so all those little pinholes inside of an automatic transmission are all metered leaks. It's designed to leak a little bit. It's got different sensors and regulators and all that stuff to like measure that. Now over time, you could have one or two of those little holes that we shot with birdshot kind of get a little bit bigger. And that's what they're talking about, an internal leak. That hole will get bigger, or the wear and the bore will start getting bigger. And now you have a leak that's not what the metered leak should be internally. I hope that makes sense. And so now the computer does have a little bit of adjustment. It can regulate that. It can say, okay, we do have a little bit of spectrum here to like, we can push up the line pressure. We can make it a little more. And sometimes that's about the time you start feeling the transmission shifting hard, starts clunking, or starts shifting soft, just depending on where the leak is in the circuit. The computer can kind of adjust, and then all of a sudden, it's working better now. Or you put new fluid in there, and new fluid's got new viscosity, and that helps. That alleviates it. And the computer adjusts. Now you disconnect the battery and reset it to factory specs. All of a sudden the transmission starts acting really weird. What's going on here? It takes like 100 miles or so, maybe a little less, and then it starts adjusting its values, and it can adapt to the worn out stuff that's inside, and it starts working better again. Doesn't mean that it's fixed, but does it need surgery? That's where it's like, well, it might last another 100,000 miles because the computer is smart enough to make up a little difference and help out, and maybe not. So, and that's kind of what they're doing here with this recall. They're putting the software program in hopes that bore wear doesn't get any worse, because when they designed it, they only gave it so far to adjust, and they didn't realize that it was going to wear more than that, and it has. So it's like, okay, let's push the boundaries a little bit more and see what happens. Now, what happens with the internal leak that is locking the transmission up is the drag racers will be able to follow along with me, but used to have a trans brake. Well, not used to, but there's trans brakes that are available that you put in drag cars. So when you stage the car and you hit the button and you rev it up, the car is in drive, but you hit the little button and now it's locked in place. As soon as you release the button, it takes off and you're like a bullet out of a gun. You're applying reverse and drive at the same time. So the little button does is it actuates the reverse clutches. So now you're in reverse and you're in drive at the same time. So it's a bind. You're binding the transmission. Doesn't really hurt anything. You have two opposing forces and it just clamps down. Now it's just going to sit there until either you release the drive and you go backwards, which would be not what you want to do at a drag strip. Or you release the reverse and you hit the drive and away you go. So that's what it is. Electronically actuated reverse holds you in drive and reverse, trans brake. So that can happen internally if you have an internal leak. Sometimes that leak passage, if you have a leak in drive and say the downshift from 10th to 8th, that circuit is leaking into the reverse passage. You see where we're going here? Now that reverse gets lit up, gets pressurized the same time you're downshifting into eighth. Now you have eighth and reverse applied at the same time because you have an internal leak. That little hole has gotten big enough to allow the fluid into the next passage. And now the whole transmission locks up. So I hope that makes sense. I hope you followed me along with that one. But that's the problem I see with these newer transmissions, is there's so many moving parts that there's no room for all this stuff to fit. So stuff's getting really, really tight and getting close to each other. And now you have this potentiality for something where, you know, reverse and drive could possibly be applied at the same time. And you're thinking, well, why don't they just engineer it so they're not even close to each other? Well, you can't. I mean, there's just too much going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. You got to think from 0 to 10. That's a lot of gear ratios, right? And so you don't want every time when you're in 10th gear going down the highway and you want to downshift to pass somebody, you don't want to go 10, 9, 8, 7, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. You want to just drop 10 to 8 or 10 to 4, right? But also, if you're hitting a hill and you just kind of are you're slowly accelerating up, now you need to go from like, say, 10 to 9 or 10 to 8. So you need that accessibility to make those small incrementally adjustments because again, that's what saves fuel. That's the whole idea of having a 10 speed, is you want to keep the RPMs down. So you don't want to constantly be going from 10 to 5. So you need a valve for every one of those functions. You need something that's doing that. That's keeping, okay, in this position, when we're doing this with this low, we'll go from 10 speed to 9 speed. Okay, now if we're like half throttle, we'll go from 10 to 5 or 10 to 6. So all those different things creates more wear, more moving parts inside the transmission. So, and then potential for wear. So I hope that makes sense. Anyway, I didn't get to the text lines. I'm sorry, I was on a rant there. Text lines here right after the break.
Ace Auto Care, across the street from Atascadero Hay and Feed in Atascadero.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. Iran's president rejects calls for a surrender, even as U.S. and Israeli attacks continue.
We've heard not only from President Trump, but also from Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, that these attacks against the regime will intensify in the days ahead. And so what the United States and Israel actually has in store for the regime hasn't even been fully unleashed.
Fox's Trey Yingston in Tel Aviv. President Trump hosting a summit of Latin American leaders this morning, announcing a new military coalition targeting the cartels.
The heart of our agreement is a commitment to using lethal military force to destroy the sinister cartels and terrorist networks once and for all. We'll get rid of them.
The president now headed to Dover Air Force Base for the dignified transfer of the 6 American soldiers who were killed by an Iranian drone attack last weekend. America is listening to Fox News.
Elite Roadshow Buyers is returning to Paso Robles at the History Museum located downtown for 3 days only. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And Tomorrow Bay at the Veterans Memorial Hall for 2 days only. Thursday and Friday, March 12th and 13th. Call 760-783-5483 to book your appointment. Phones are answered 7 days a week. Meet the team of buyers, including three seen on TV's Antiques Roadshow, all with decades of elite experience to offer you the best price for your heirlooms. They're buying a wide range of fine items like gold and silver jewelry, watches, coins, sterling silver, oil paintings, even antique firearms, historical items, advertising memorabilia, and more. Visit the website EliteRoadshowBuyers.com for more details. Don't miss this free event to receive purchase offers with immediate payment. Call 760-783-5483 today. That's 760-78-ELITE.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket, or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
Celebrate Easter Sunday at the beautiful Allegretto Vineyard Resort. Sunday, April 5th, enjoy the festive Easter brunch from 10:30 to 2:30, featuring chef-crafted favorites like Eggs Benedict, Smoked Salmon Benedict, Applewood Bacon, and fresh pastries. Enjoy live culinary stations with prime rib and porchetta carving, made-to-order omelets, all set to live music, sweet treats, and a kids' corner for the little ones. Make Easter unforgettable this year. Reserve your table at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
And welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It is Saturday, March 7th. Can you believe that? Already getting down to end of quarter one for March for 2026. Crazy. Anyways, back to the text lines. Nothing, no good questions I can really bring up, but I did respond to a few there. So thanks for reaching out. Again, if you have any questions, whether you want me to put them on the air or not, 805-2385-775, or call in. It's always good to hear from you. I appreciate you sitting here and listening, and I hope we learn something together. I know I get a little technical sometimes, and I try to keep it basic, which is good for me. I feel like I learn a lot that way. I'm trying to keep it simple. I think it's the KISS concept, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, Jimmy. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So I got, I've been calling about that power stroke.
Yes.
With the transmission I'm pulling. Okay, I got like pretty much all of the bolts out for the transfer case, but there's the bottom one is just sandwiched in between the tail adapter and the actual transfer case, and it's stripped out. So I'm wondering, okay, maybe can I just take the other bolts off that the output shaft and everything slides onto and just take it out that way? The flange adapter, and then at least get the transfer case out, and then maybe I can work on getting that bolt out.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Or is that going to be more involved?
Okay, so you were taking off the transfer case with the six nuts, right? With the studs?
Yeah, the very bottom one.
Yeah, yep.
It's a bolt. It's incredibly difficult to get. Do I drop the cross member and yanked on it and for over an hour, and it's just stripped out?
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't,
so I think
that would require
the other side of the till. The other side of the adapter with the bolts that are facing the rear of the truck,
yep,
that are much easier to get to, undo those and then slide the whole adapter out, the flange adapter.
Yeah, it's but that might be the only one. I mean, a crow's foot is usually what I use for that bottom one. It is kind of a tough one to get to. Sometimes if you take like a hammer and a punch and you can catch the corner of it just to break it loose, sometimes yeah. I work too to get that one out. I've definitely dealt with that before. But you can take the adapter off. The parking pawl is the only thing I'm worried about. But if you're going to be tearing the transmission apart anyway, then you'll be fine. But yeah, it's not super complicated. That output shaft is long, so it's got to slide a ways back. But in that truck, you got a lot of room to go back. So yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine doing that.
Okay.
There's a little dowel with a spring, and it's not a spring in the sense of like a spiral spring. It's a little I don't know what you call it, but it'll probably fall out. It's not a huge deal. It's just a little detent to keep the little parking pawl, and that whole assembly is probably going to fall apart. It might stay in there. You might get lucky, but that's the only thing you have to deal with.
Okay. The reason I say this is because they found a used two-wheel drive with a slip yoke, and I was going to just take the two-wheel drive unit and then take the tail off and put my four-wheel drive onto the used two-wheel drive transmission.
Yeah, you'll have to swap out that output shaft because the output shaft's a different length.
There's a different... Okay, so that's just more involved.
You'll have to tear the whole trans down.
Yeah. Okay.
But not the end of the world.
So maybe it'd just be better to get it out, stand up the transfer case, and then try and maybe put a torch to it and heat it up and get that bolt out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll just slide it out with the output shaft and all that, and we can deal with it later.
That's what I would
do. The trans is coming out anyways. And then I'm going to put everything together, and then I know it's heavier, but I'm going to put everything together outside of the truck and then lift the new unit up into the truck with the transfer case.
That's our standard when we do it. We have a little special plate that goes around the pan that keeps it locked in, and that allows us to put it up. But yeah, that's how we put them together. We do it with the transfer case.
Yeah. So, but I got the bell housing bolts out fine, and then everything else, the cross members down. So it's, yeah. But of course, there's that one bolt. You know,
there's always one, man.
It makes it tough. All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye bye.
Bye. Yeah, I always like to say it's always one. You can make it 99 yards, but that last yard to make it into the end zone, that can be the hardest yard to make. And without the touchdown, the 99 yards were for nothing, right? So what's more important, carrying the ball across the field or getting it across the finish line? And it just takes one, you know? Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, you know, you're just talking, here we go, about the technology loop again. And, you know, Hello, yeah, we've got to hang on. I got to go.
I think we lost him. I feel like that was going to be good, too. That's right. The saga of the Ford transmission. We'll catch up with him and see what see where he goes with that. Always got to be one, man. Those are the things you learn over time, too. Like the Chevys with the exhaust manifold bolts. You can get that transmission out in, like, I don't know, 45 minutes, under an hour. But you'll spend 4 days extracting exhaust bolts if you break one of those exhaust bolts out. Gearhead Radio.
Hey, sorry about that.
There you are.
A little while ago, you were just talking about the technology loop of these cars. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in that the late 80s to about 2000 was the epitome of economy / dependability, durability, the whole thing. They've just gone downhill ever since.
Yeah, it's definitely a solid little pocket. I think even in the late 90s, 2000s, I think the early 2000s definitely involved enough technology to get what we needed, but still had an extended life. They're still, simple enough to last, but still had enough technology in there to make them comfortable.
Yeah, we've got 90s, throttle body trucks, and we have four L80Es that have gone, almost 300,000 miles of towing. And we've got an F-350 with whatever automatic that is, went over 250 with towing with a 7.3. And, has anybody made a better transmission than those?
Yeah, the four speeds. I mean, I think the best one put out there was the Allison. And, I mean, it sure is a five speed, but those are, indestructible unless you start messing tuning with it and putting a bunch of excessive power and all that stuff. But yeah, all the four speeds, the GM four speeds, Ford four speeds, all those big truck transmissions, that's just about where you needed to be. You got the fuel economy that you needed, and they were simple, and they were, fairly simple to fix, really.
Yeah, well, I've got like a 92 454 Suburban that at 65 on the highway gets over 15 miles a gallon. That's 3/4 ton.
Yeah.
And my 98's got four-wheel drive. It's just a little less, but same thing. It's just, like I said, what are you gaining? And not to mention that, I always tell people this, that these newer cars, and especially the electric, are just environmental nightmares. They just don't last. I see people getting new engines at anywhere from 30 to 60,000 miles. Something's wrong. It's hardly worth repairing the car for that much.
Yeah, in 2026, in 1990, you're talking about, 30, you got vehicles on the road that are almost 40 years old that you're still using every day, where some of these newer vehicles, you spend 40, 50 grand on them, and within 7 years, you need to spend another 15 grand to put an engine in it, and they just go to Copart, or they just go get scrapped. That entire car is getting thrown away, right? That's not good for the environment. direction we're trying to go.
Yeah, I would spend 20 grand on my old one before I bought a new one. Even 30 grand.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do unless you need something with more stuff, right? But what do you like? What do you need though? What do you need that you can't find? And I get it. So it gets to a point where, the car. There are certain circumstances where I've seen the vehicles. Yeah, this car you need a new car, right? The doors are falling off. The engine's bad. The transmission's bad. You just haven't kept up on maintenance. But it's pretty rare to look at an older vehicle and say this isn't worth repairing. It's not a very common thing that I run across. Especially with knowing what I know with new cars, the money you're going to spend to fix one thing on these newer cars, you can fix about four or five different things on an older one.
Yeah, well, I've seen the deal with, you break a door handle, you have to buy a new door panel.
Right. Yeah.
You can't just go down and get a Dorman one off the rack for $6 anymore.
Yeah, and like this one, some of them you have to program the computer with the new door handle because they have sensors in them. So.
That's way beyond.
You got to program a new door handle. So there's some technology. It's like, really?
Yeah. Have it fingerprint sensitive or something. Anyways, hey, have a good time, man. Hey. I tell you, if you can, some of these new ones, I see guys working on them, and I'm looking at some of the things they do with, there's a couple guys on YouTube that are doing amazing things with these new transmissions that nobody else will do.
Yep.
But, But those are the ones that'll tell you that for the labor involved, you're better off getting a new one, you know, even if it's $1,000 more just because of the warranty and stuff. But anyway, yep. Hey.
Thanks for the call.
That's life of a mechanic, man. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Well, that's just a good conversation to add to. I'll tell you, I used to buy brand new cars or, you know, newish cars that had all the tech. Now I just buy 20-year-old cars or 15-year-old cars, slap a doubled-in head unit in it, a reverse camera, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever else, little knickknacks, some LED headlight bulbs, and call it a day. And, you know, I honestly don't miss anything about, you know, the 2020, you know, whatever that I used to have. It's I really only drive cars that are like in the 2000 to 2010 range. And it served me well because they are easier to repair and they're dirt cheap, you know. You can just burn through them, you know, every couple of years and it doesn't really kill you financially.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, those, you can get the, yeah, you can get the Apple CarPlay or the Android CarPlay.
Uh-huh.
You can get those things shipped over from China for cheap and they go in so easy. Yeah. They're super easy to install. And then you got all the technology there. You get heated seats if you want. And I mean, you can add all that stuff on.
No, I bought an 09 Mazda for $2,000. The guy was having problems. I told you, I replaced that slave cylinder. Bam, it's working great.
It's all perfect.
I ordered a little head unit. I'm going to throw that in. It's coming this week. Some LED headlights, and it's like good as new. And it's $2,000. So if the car makes it a couple years, it's worth it to me.
Oh, yeah. And it'll make it more than that. Yeah, for Christmas, I bought Leanne the Android CarPlay to go in her Hyundai. Because hers was having some issues with it, like changing stations and just doing weird stuff. But super nice unit. It's been a couple months now, and it's been really nice. And it's like, it looks like, now it looks modern. It's got a huge 7-inch screen in there, and it went right into the factory location. It's like, well, that's pretty nice. I think it was only like $300. Yeah. I was like, that's not bad.
It's all trimmed out.
Yeah. Yep. All right, you're right.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, some of the... A lot of cool aftermarket stuff coming out, you know. And as the cars age out, you know, not age out, but they get into the 10 years range, there's more and more stuff starts coming out in the aftermarket. And the OE doesn't support them anymore. But that's okay. A lot of the aftermarket parts are typically revised better than what the OE came out with. Typically. Not all the time. Not all the time. But anyway, got to take a break. Be right back.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Thirty-eight years ago, we opened Stove and Spa Center, and we are old and tired. We finally decided it's time to enjoy retirement. So we're having a huge store-wide sale. That's right, folks. If you've been thinking of getting a stove, insert, or fireplace, now is the time to get one. We have lots of inventories, and it all needs to go quickly. We have wood, gas, pellet units, and they are priced to sell. We have burn models up to 40% off. We also have fireplace screens, grates, steamers, gloves, and other hearth accessories all on on sale to move. Don't miss the great opportunity to get items at a great price while supplies last. Stove and Spa Center is closing our doors, so don't miss this incredible store-wide deals. All sales are final and must take possession of product within 10 days of purchase. Come see all the items available to put into your home. Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Kerberil and Morrill Roads, open Tuesday through Saturday.
Red Scooter Deli on 6th Street has a patio that you need to check out. Enjoy your favorite Red Scooter breakfast or lunch on the cozy heated patio. Order in person or online. Check out Red Scooter's Grab and Go stock daily with wide selection. Red Scooter Deli serving you fresh food for over 16 years. Red Scooter Deli is at 711 6th Street next to the Pet Center with tons of parking. Go to redscooterdeli.com, open 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Use promo code KPRL for a $5 discount.
And welcome back. Thanks for hanging out this Saturday morning. Getting down to the end of the show here. Just a few minutes left if you got any burning questions. If you're just tuning in, this is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Master technician of about, I don't know, 15 years now, something like that. I've got enough experience to know I don't know everything. We'll just put it that way. We'll leave it there. Something new to learn, and that's what we look forward to every day. You know, we're kind of venturing into more of the, I don't want to call it exotics, but we're getting more into different makes and models. Kind of stayed pretty tuned in with the domestics, the Ford, Chevy, Dodge. But there's only so much you can learn with those. I'm not saying I know everything, but you know, you get to a point where you kind of plateau and you got a pretty good idea of what's going on. And so learning the next new thing is getting into some of the different makes and models, and something we've slowly started incorporating some of the more minor repairs and basic stuff and maintenance with the Mercedes and BMWs and Land Rovers. So We're always growing. It's where shift happens. We're always trying to shift our ways, you know, so pun intended. So if you got something going on with your vehicle, again, we're more than happy to bring it down anytime, take a look at it, and get you a written estimate of what we find, what we need to do. And if by any chance it's something that might just be out of our grasp, we have the recommendations too. I try to retain really good relationships with everybody in the area because community is everything. And so we always know where to send you if you need something. We're here to help. We're here to serve. That's what we're here to do. All right. What were we talking about? Technology. You know, that's a good pivot into what I kind of want to talk about as we get into the warmer months and talking about maybe getting the old hot rod out, getting time to get ready for the car show. So a couple things for you to check if you're ready to get your car on the road, if it's been sitting for a little while. I did have a message earlier about that, and I thought this was a pretty good little segment to get into. So easy things for you to check. Check the oil. Is it full? If you don't know how to check your oil, you need to check your oil. There's probably a YouTube video exactly for your vehicle on YouTube to check how to check your oil. It needs to be checked. Make sure it's full. Vehicles are burning a lot more oil than they ever did before. Another problem I see a lot is with the bottom shield. Sometimes they have like a foam material on there. And it's like the little plastic, you know, thing underneath the car. If you have an oil leak, sometimes it catches on there. And sometimes that foam will absorb the oil. And then I've seen also the oil kind of spread across, and then dirt and debris kind of sticks to it and creates like this real thick, like mat of like just nasty oil mud. And so my point is, you never see the oil leak on the ground because it stays on that splash shield under the car, especially if it's a real minor oil leak. And a couple quarts of oil and 5,000 miles, that's pretty easy to get, you know, spread across that thing. And that's about where your dipstick shows no oil on it. So again, just because you don't see oil on the ground doesn't mean it's not leaking. We want to make sure You're at least getting it inspected once a year, which is easy and free for you, because I'll do it for you if you don't want to. And but you need to check your oil. So important thing, you get in the car on the road, check the oil. Make sure, what does it look like? Now, another common misconception I hear a lot is if the oil is milky, it's a blown head gasket. And that's also not a fair assessment. There's oil coolers now. There's a lot of different things in vehicles that can create the oil and water to mix. It's not always a head gasket. Also, if it's been sitting for a while, it might just be some condensation that's occurred that's caused a little bit of milkiness in the oil. So if it is milky, you want to get that changed out right away. Get fresh oil in there. It should be nice golden brown look. Definitely don't want it to be black either. If it's black, it's probably a diesel, and that's okay. But if it's not a diesel and it's black, we need to change that oil. Get it looking clean. Check the antifreeze. Coolant's super important as well. If it's green, it's every 2 years to replace it. All the other manufacturers have different years that they say it's good for. But check the coolant. Make sure there's coolant in the system. Check your belts and hoses. Make sure there's no dry rot going on. Make sure they're worn. Good way to check that is give them a squeeze, the hoses. You want them to be nice and soft and flexible. You don't want them to be kind of ballooning. Sometimes where they connect to the radiator or the water pump or to the engine, they'll get a little swollen. And if it looks a little bit swollen when it's cold and it's been sitting there, then when it gets hot, it's going to blow up like a balloon. And that's when you're going to have problems. Check your heater hoses. Those are really important too. Make sure there's no crusties. Coolant will leak and it'll cause like a little bit of a crustiness. And if that's happening, it needs to be addressed. So easy, quick things to check. Again, with the electrical, check all the wiring. Especially if it's been sitting for a long time. Rodents love the wiring. And there's nothing like having an electrical problem, potentially an electrical fire, if you got some wires that are chewed up, especially down by the starter. And unfortunately, the rodents like to find those deep crevices that are hard to see, that are also where a lot of the major power wires are ran. So we want to look in all those crevices, make sure you don't see any evidence of rodent dropping. Kind of common sense stuff here. Be smart about it. You don't need to inspect every inch of the wiring, but if you're starting to see nesting material and rodent droppings and stuff like that, yeah, you need to dive in a little bit deeper. Make sure all the wiring is intact. That's important. Not good. The older batteries, if it's been sitting for a while, make sure you're wearing your safety glasses. You can pop the little caps off. Make sure you got water in the battery. A lot of the maintenance batteries, and they're still alive and well in this day and age. There's a lot of maintenance free, but there's still a lot of vehicle batteries that need to be maintained. Those caps need to be pulled off. Check to make sure we got distilled water, especially if the vehicle's been sitting for a few months. Make sure that water's evaporated out. We want to put some distilled water, not clean drinking water. We want distilled water only going back into that battery. Make sure that's full. It's important too. Back to rodents with the fuel system. That's an important one. Make sure there's no hoses that are got chewed on, especially no lines that are connected to the fuel system. Now, if it's carbureted or throttle body, that's where you got a lot of rubber lines. We want to get some fuel pressure in there. Make sure nothing's leaking around the carburetor. So when you start it, you want to shut it down real quick and make sure you got no fuel seeping around the float bowls, around the base of the carburetor, throttle linkage, all that kind of stuff. Now, one of the main issues I see with starting a vehicle that's been sitting for a long time is the float bowl stick. And when the float bowl sticks, it overfuels and starts leaking everywhere. Floods the engine, dumps a bunch of fuel down the engine. We don't want any of that. So, quick little thing you can do is after the first start, you get it fired up. Those float bowls are going to get pumped up fairly quickly, usually within less than 10 seconds. Shut it down and just tap the top of those float bowls on the carburetor, on the front and the back. If it's a Holley, if it's an Edelbrock, kind of on the side of it. Just kind of tap it a little bit, and that'll help if any resins form from the fuel to stick those float valves. Give a little tap on the top and bottom, that'll keep the get those float bowls to drop down so they don't stick. Real quick and easy thing to do. Check your tires and check your brakes. I was just pulling out the 68 the other day and my damn brake hose was leaking, and I'm glad I caught it before I took it down the highway. So check your stuff before you drive your stuff, or bring it to me and I'll do it for you. Anyway, have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you next Saturday. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time.
You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.